Hello, what's going on, everybody? This is Sydney Smith, the host of this incredible podcast, The Real Queen Sid, and this is episode 240 of The Real Queen Sid Show, and I'm super, super excited. Of course, it's another chapter from the 50 Cent Curtis Jackson book, Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter. Super excited for you guys to hear this today. We're actually going to talk about creating competition and how that can help give you a real edge in leveling up your business. So, hope you guys get a ton of value from this. If you do, make sure you screenshot it, share it into your Instagram stories, and tag me at The Real Queen Sid. You can drop your biggest takeaway on there as well. I love y'all, appreciate y'all, and let's get into this episode.
Creating a competitive edge in your business. And this is gonna be a couple of different ways that you can do that. I love this chapter because he talks about the haters and he talks about creating friendly competition. He talks about fake beef. He talks about all kinds of teas. So I'm really excited for this. If you guys are somebody that is super affected by haters, like if you're like, I can't stand haters, like they dictate my day, they like, I don't post things when I get hate, I don't post in, like, whatever, right? If you're somebody that's like worried about the haters, can you drop me a yes in the comments? I'm just curious. If you get any value from this, please make sure to share it out and drop me the word shared in the comments below, and I will give you first and last name shout out when you drop the word shared. So this book, like I said, it's this, or this chapter, it's called If We Can't Be Friends. And so Curtis Jackson starts this book out, or starts this chapter out, by talking about Oprah Winfrey. And so Oprah Winfrey and Curtis Jackson, or 50 Cent, had a lot of beef early in 50's career. And it was because he had heard the way that Oprah had talked about the rap community in general. She had talked about misogyny. She had talked about like views against women, violence, things like that in the rap community. And so the way that 50 took this was, well, if she doesn't like all of those things, then she doesn't like me. And so 50 took this as an opportunity to kind of create this beef, right? Create this beef with Oprah Winfrey because she was such a large star at the time, okay? Okay, so she was such a large star at the time, so he decided to create this beef. And so one day, 50 was out at a game or something, and Oprah Winfrey's best friend walked up to him and was like, dude, why are you creating beef with my girl? Like, she didn't do anything to you. And he said, listen, I'd love to be Oprah's friend. I continued, but if we can't be friends, can we at least be enemies? If we can't be friends, can we at least be enemies? And so this is kind of the area that I want to talk about haters. And so she actually ended up like, Gail is Oprah's best friend. Gail ended up going, you need to meet Oprah and I'm going to set up a meeting. And so he ended up going on Oprah's show. They ended up talking things out and Oprah asked him on the show, she said, why did you create so much beef with me? I never said anything specifically against you, 50. Like I never said anything against you. He said, yeah, but you know, the way that you talked about my community, the way you talked about the rap community, you didn't seem, I just assumed that you didn't like me. And he said, he said, if we can't be friends, then can at least let me be your enemy. And Oprah understood that when he said that, what he meant, I'd always prefer to be friends with someone, but if they're not interested, then I consider being enemies the next best option. Why? Because if you hate me, you're more likely to talk about me. How many of you guys like get so affected by haters sometimes that you're like, this sucks. Like this so-and-so is talking about me on social media, or this person is hating on my comments, or this person is whatever on my comments. I need to tell you guys a story. Okay, you guys ready for a story time? Can you drop me like some hearts? Make some hearts fly across the screen if you're getting some value from this already. He said, why? Because if you hate me, you're more likely to talk about me. Okay. So I'm going to tell you about my first direct sales company. In my first direct sales company, I was actually, so those of you who might know, Jessie Lee is my mentor now. She's my upline. She's my leader, whatever. And not whatever, but she is my upline. She's my leader. She's my mentor. It was not like that in my first company, even though we were in the same company. So Jessie Lee and I were in the same first company. And when she left that company, all of the leaders talked a lot of crap about her. They talked about how they didn't like her. They talked about how she was terrible. They talked about how she made the worst decision ever. They talked and 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 they talked about her. Until I went and sought her out on social media just to check up on how she was doing. And through checking up on how she was doing, I noticed that she was in a new company. She was thriving. She was losing fat. She was happy. She was getting all these incentives. She looked like she was making more money than before. And I started scrolling through all of her posts and I started thinking to myself, I like this girl. I like this girl. And so I ended up buying product from her when I was still with my first company, which ended up being the thing that got me kicked out of all the groups. And I ended up joining in business with her. And now 5 years later, just from that one connection with Jessie Lee, my whole entire life has changed. I'm now a six-figure earner. I'm living in Texas. I drive a Range Rover. I'm clean and sober for the last 5.5 years. Things have changed for me, and they wouldn't have changed for me had people not been spreading hate about her. Does that make sense? Can you drop me a yes in the comments below if that makes sense? Or make some hearts fly across the screen or share this out if you're getting some value already and drop me the word shared in the comments below, okay? He said, no one asks their friends if they've listened to a song they feel neutral about. No one mentions a writer or designer that doesn't elicit a strong reaction in them. Y'all, I've been talking about 50 Cent so much over the last couple weeks or whatever because this is eliciting such a strong reaction in me. This book makes me think. This book makes me learn. It's so good. And a lot of you have taken my advice and gone out and bought this book. 50 has elicited a strong positive reaction in me, but at least if he didn't elicit a strong positive reaction in me, he would elicit a strong negative reaction in me, and I would still be talking about him. Does that make sense? So sometimes we get really, really caught up in the haters, especially if you're building on social media. If you're somebody that's like, you know, putting your life out there and you're somebody that's, you know, putting yourself on social media, and maybe you have the MLM haters going after you. Maybe you have, wow, that's a good bun, Sydney. Maybe you have the MLM haters going after you. Maybe you have your family hating on you. Maybe you have random people hating on you for other parts of your life, right? So I get hate for being an addict. I get hate for being a lesbian. And I get hate for being an MLM. I got a triple whammy. But he said, I'd always prefer love. But if I can't get that, I'll take hate. There's always a chance I can turn hate into something positive. Can you please write that down? There's always a chance that I can turn hate into something positive. He said, I would always love for people to love me, but he's very, very aware of the real life standards of the fact that not everybody's going to love him. Not everybody is going to associate with him. Not everybody's going to love the rap culture. Not everybody is going to feel drawn to 50 Cent. But if I can't get love, then I would rather get hate. Because people don't talk about things they're neutral about. People don't talk about things that they're neutral about. They talk about things that they're passionate about. They talk about things that elicit an emotion in them. They talk about things that make them feel excited, whether it's angry excited or happy excited. So there's always a chance I can turn hate into something positive. He said, it's never been a problem for me to compete. Okay, so the next part that he talks about, he says, competition brings out the best. And so he talks about, how many of you guys know of some car brands called Ferrari and Lamborghini? Do you guys have like a preference? Do you prefer, are you like a Ferrari person? Are you a Lamborghini person? I've never really been around a Ferrari, that's a lie. I rode in one Ferrari, it was super loud. And I've ridden in one Lamborghini, and I really, really like the Lamborghini. So I feel like I'm leaning towards Lamborghini, okay? And so he talks about, in this book, how Ferrari and Lamborghini started, okay? And so Ferrari was one of the first luxury vehicles to be on the market, right? But Ferrari was a racing car originally. So it was a car for the racetracks. Can y'all see? I don't see any comments in the comments. Can y'all comment so I know that you are there? Please and thank you. Okay, so he was talking about how Ferrari developed the first luxury brand, but it was for racetracks. And so Lamborghini was somebody that had worked on, I believe, tractors. Yeah, he was working on tractors. And so Lamborghini purchased himself a Ferrari. Lamborghini recognized a number of flaws, and he recognized a number of flaws in the design. The car was too noisy and had a ridiculously touchy clutch, which had to be repaired. He took his car into Ferrari mechanics to fix it, and they wouldn't let him personally observe their repairs, which pissed him off. Since Ferrari were already considered the best luxury sports cars on the market, Lamborghini saw the flaws as inexcusable. He decided to bring his critiques to Enzo Ferrari himself. Ferrari was deeply insulted that this quote unquote tractor mechanic, thought that he could teach him something about race cars and rejected the advice. The moment created a deep-seated rivalry between the two. Stung by Ferrari's snub, Lamborghini decided he'd turn his interest in cars into professional pursuit. He wasn't playing around, and 4 months later, Lamborghini 350 GTV debuted in the motor show. Yes, this book is so good. It debuted in the motor show. Okay, and so Lamborghini decided to build a sports car, a luxury sports car, because he didn't like the way that Ferrari's car was built. He saw flaws in the way that Ferrari's car was built. Okay, and so he said, as competitive rivals, Lamborghini and Ferrari would bring out the best in each other. Ferrari was never too interested in making street cars as his passion lay in racing. Lamborghini was more focused on practicality and everyday use. If he hadn't been pushing the market in that direction, Ferrari might have never come off the racetrack. How insane is that? These two massive, massive luxury brands, if they weren't pitted against each other, if they didn't create competition within their industry, if they didn't rival each other and allow this healthy competition to kind of serve, right? We wouldn't have Lamborghini and Ferrari the way that we have it now, okay? And he says, the sense of competition forced both companies to evolve into stronger and more versatile versions of themselves. As it said, iron sharpens iron. Ferrari and Lamborghini could have been friends, but a peaceful and gentle first meeting may have never inspired the creation of some of the best cars in the world. In what areas can you create this competition in your business? In what areas can you create this competition in your business? Where can you become more innovative in your business? Where can you become more innovative in your marketing strategy, right? Can you start looking at other people's marketing strategies and start to get ideas and competitive edge because you are using the competition of somebody else? Somebody doesn't even need to know they're competing with you, right? He said, the better your opponent, the better you become. So find somebody that you want to allow to drive you to be innovative. Find somebody that you want to allow to drive you to be innovative. Just like Ferrari and Lamborghini, okay? He said, you cannot go around believing that no one is as good as you and therefore that you have no one to measure up against you. Have you ever like met somebody in business or ever met somebody in life, like maybe it's a boss or something that was super, super cocky. They thought they were the best in the place. They thought they were the most amazing person in the place. They thought they had no competition. They thought that nobody could beat them. They thought that nothing. You can't go around believing that no one is as good as you and therefore that you don't have to measure up against them. What I'm saying is an appreciator. He said, people like to say that I'm a hater, but nothing could be further from the truth. What I am is an appreciator. I'm always appreciating what other people are doing, competing, not hating. I'm actually putting my appreciation into action. Have you ever met somebody that's doing better than you in business and you just get so angry about it instead of looking at what they're doing and allowing that to serve your business? Have you ever gotten so jealous of the success that somebody else is having? Maybe somebody came into the business after you. Maybe you've been in the business longer. Maybe you have been in the industry longer. Maybe you have been more consistent on putting reels up and somebody else is getting a pop off of their reels, whatever the thing is. Can you appreciate that person for winning and then put that, and I'm always appreciating what other people are doing. Competing is not hating. I'm actually putting my appreciation into actions. Write that down. Put your appreciation into actions. Appreciate that other people are giving you things to compete for, that other people are giving you competitive edge, that other people are giving you competitive ideas to shift into, right? Without the competition, there's no need to get better. There's no drive to get better. There's no innovation. Without competition, there would have been no internet. Without competition, there would have been no Lamborghini, no Ferrari. Without competition, we wouldn't have iPhones and Androids. And without competition, we wouldn't have any of it. The competitive edge is what leads to the innovation. He said, no matter how confident you are in your abilities, there's still someone out there for you to compete against. Go find them. I don't care if you think you're the best copywriter. You're the best caption writer in the entire world. Go find somebody that's better than you and learn from them. Go find somebody that is better than you at sales and learn from them. Go find somebody that is better than you at recruiting and learn from them. Go find somebody that's better than you at training and go learn from them. And he said, rappers in, I love this part. He said, rappers in the studio, whenever their friends will hit a line, right? Like you're the rapper in the studio and you hit like a real cool line or whatever, your friends will all hype you up. He said his friends will go on to tell him that he's better than whatever SoundCloud young boy is hot at the moment. The rapper will eat it up and grow even cockier. But notice what his homies are not saying. That is that he's better than Jay, that he's better than Kendrick, that he's better than me. Those are the standards that you need to hold yourself up against before you start thinking you're the GOAT. So yeah, it's really, really cool to start beating the people around you. Yeah, it's really, really cool to start beating the new kid on the block. But can you measure yourself up to the success of the people that you look up to in the industry? Can you guys drop in the comments below if you guys are getting some value from this? Just go ahead and drop me some hearts in the comments or make some hearts fly across the screen. Share this out to somebody that might need this. And if you do share it out, just drop me the word shared in the comments and I will give you a first and last name shout out. Okay, but hold yourself up to the standards of who you look up to. I've asked my team this before, or our team this before, okay? And I've said, what are the expectations that you have of me as your leader? And you see people drop things in the comments, consistency, showing up on team trainings, going live every day, always hitting our MVP bonus, getting new customers, recruiting, being compassionate, whatever. They have all these expectations of me as their leader. And I turned around and I looked at them and I said, so where do you fall on that standard? Where do you fall on that standard? Robin House, thank you for sharing. Lotta Loves Health, thank you for sharing. Where do you fall on that standard? How do you show up for those expectations that you have for your leadership? I want you to think about somebody that you look up to in whatever industry you're in, whatever business you're in, whether you're a realtor, a network marketer, whatever, in corporate America. Who do you look up to? What expectations do you have for that person? Okay, if you're in corporate America, what expectations do you have of your boss? And where do you fall on those? Do you expect your boss to come in early and stay late? Do you expect your boss to work harder than you do? Do you expect your boss to stay late when there are projects? Annalise Cunningham, thank you for sharing. What do you expect? And start showing up as that person. Stop comparing yourself to the new kid on the block and compare yourself to your idol before you start thinking you're the GOAT, okay? And he said, if you only compare yourself to inferior opponents, you'll feel like you're doing something when you're actually not doing much at all. When you compare yourself to inferior opponents, you'll feel like you're doing something when you're actually not doing anything at all. How many of you guys look at leaderboards in your business? Like, I love leaderboards, okay? So my upline posts leaderboards every once in a while, and I love looking at leaderboards. I love looking at who's around me. I love looking at how many places I've jumped. I love leaderboards. I love to look at who I'm crushing. I love to look at all of that. Instead of comparing yourself to the five people that are usually around you on the leaderboard, why don't you look at the top of the leaderboard? Because it's easy to look and say, oh, I'm number 20 on the leaderboard. There's all of these people below me that I'm beating. But what about the 20 above me? What if I started comparing to those people? What if I started learning from those people? What if I started competing, not comparing, competing with those people? Instead of competing with the five people that are usually around me, wouldn't that elevate your level of competition? Wouldn't that elevate your level of standards? Right? And so he said, in the next part, he said, we'll do Curtis versus graduation, okay? He said, oh, I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. Okay, so 50 Cent was about to release a new album. It was called How to Rob. And he found out that him and Kanye were going to release their album at the same time. Now, Kanye was projected to do way better than 50 on this album. And so 50 reached out to Kanye and he said, hey, Kanye, I have a proposition for you. Instead of us releasing our albums 3 days apart, why don't we release our albums on the same day? Let's create some beef. Let's create some media hype. Let's pretend like we are going head to head. Let's pretend like we hate each other. And let's release our albums on the same day. He was like, we'll create a whole competition out of it. Like, I'll get my fan base involved. You get your fan base involved. It'll elevate both of us. And so Kanye agreed. He said, I pitched Kanye on the concept of each of us dropping on the same day. He understood we could collectively generate more buzz by hyping our battle than being out on individual promo runs. So they decided to hype a battle between the two of them rather than hype up their individual album, right? And so he said, 50 said, personally, I knew competition was what I needed at this point in my career. And so he went back to his old home, his grandmother's house in Queens, so that he could soak up some of his old energy. He said Kanye was at a different point in his career, but he took the competitions just as seriously as I did. In the weeks leading up to the release, he locked himself in his studio, redoing mixes and trying to make his album sound and tight as possible. Listen to this. He reportedly mixed Stronger over 50 times. You guys know that song, Stronger. Everybody knows that song. Over 50 times before he was finally satisfied. Neither of us were treating this like a stunt. Both of us were playing to win. So by creating that mutual conversation, 50 went and made his album better. Kanye went and made his album better. They hyped up the competition. They hyped up the battle. They got both of their target audiences involved. They hyped up a battle, and it created competition so that they would be better. And he said, 50 to, or Kanye took the gold. He sold 957,000 albums in the first week, while Curtis moved 691,000 albums. But Curtis Jackson's album was only projected to move if they had moved 400,000 albums that week, that would have been a good week. And he ended up moving 691,000 just by creating competition, just by creating hype, just by creating somebody that he could compete with. So what friends on your leaderboard, maybe you don't have to create fake beef, y'all, but like, what friend on your leaderboard can you, or your accountability, can you go, hey, first one of 10 customers wins? It doesn't matter what you win. It's just a matter of competition. It's just a matter of giving yourself something to run for. It's just a matter of saying, you know, in the next week, the first person to get 10 customers wins. I love doing that stuff. I love competing with my friends. He said 50 and Kanye never had real beef, but they used a fake beef and they used a competition with each other to elevate both of their statuses, right? He said, of course he did beat me, but what the public couldn't see was that I had still earned a major victory. I created competition that would generate the buzz my label wasn't capable of creating. Even worse, I was competing against an artist whose label was doing everything, and I mean everything, to make sure he beat me. Think about that. How many times do you say that you're in a worse position? How many times do you look at other people and you say, well, they don't have kids. Well, they have more time. Well, I work a full-time job. Well, I'm just not as good at speaking as them. Well, they're better than me at sales. Well. And you start looking at all the disadvantages you have. 50 said in this book that he did not have any competitive advantage over Kanye. He had a label that wasn't pushing to back his album, and Kanye had a label that was pushing to beat 50. And he still went to battle. He still went into competition, and he still showed up and did his best. He still showed up and did his best work. How many times are you going to use the same excuses over and over and over of why you can't compete? How many times are you going to use the same excuses over and over and over about why you can't show up and win? Why you can't create the life that you want? Why you can't go live even though you're tired? Y'all, I'm tired. I went to bed at 2:30 in the morning. I woke up at 8:00 this morning and I ripped myself out of that bed. I swear to God, I wanted to stay there all day. I had a really rough morning. I got a late start to my day. I'm not supposed to be going live at 4:00 in the afternoon. I'm supposed to be going live at 10:30 in the morning, but here I am. Don't allow your excuses to be the reason that you fail at a competition. You're going to fail before you even start. Create friendly competition with people that you respect. Create friendly competition with people that will drive you. Create friendly competition with things that will motivate you. Creating competition will lead to the next huge thing in your business, okay? And he said, last thing that he said, hold on. Oh, so in this part, he talks about knowing who to compete against and who not to compete against. So he runs a show called Power. It's on Starz Network, which is it's a paid television service, right? And so there was a show that was trying to get a buzz for their show when they were starting by comparing themselves to 50 Show. And 50 said, I knew that that wasn't the show that I should compare myself to because I was already on a paid television service and they were on free television. I was already winning. They were not in the same league as me. So that's not who I was going to compete against because I was going to win. He said, so what did I choose to do? I chose to compete against the biggest paid television service TV show running at the time, which was Game of Thrones. He chose to align himself in a beef with Game of Thrones because he knew that aligning himself with hate, not hate, but a divide was going to help boost the ratings of Power, which is his show. He said, everything I posted concerning GOT, Game of Thrones, was a calculated exercise to make sure that fans, foes, and media outlets knew that our intentions with Power was never to do anything, never had anything to do with quietly succeeding. The critics may not have put Power in the same conversation as Game of Thrones, but I managed to steer the public conversation to put us side by side. And he said he knew he was never going to win against Game of Thrones, but you can still join a losing fight and come out of it with something valuable. You can still join a losing fight and come out of it with something valuable. Okay, and the last thing that he talks about in this book or in this chapter that I really, really liked was keeping a book. He talks about keeping a book of your opponents. He said every time he went up, he's talking about Lacosta, the little crocodile thing, the little polo shirts with the crocodile on them. He said every time he went up against an opponent or observed one as a spectator, he would write an entry about this person in his book. He would list their strengths, their weaknesses. He would note their temperament and how they seem to react in different scenarios. And every time he was going to go against a new opponent, he would look at this book. So can you keep a book? Can you keep an eye on what people, your competitors, are doing, right? He said, if someone does something I consider smart, I make a note of it, and I try to think of ways that I could do something similar. If I see my competition do something I consider foolish, I also make a note of that. The key is that I remove emotion from the equation when I make my mental notes. I don't get excited when I see them stumble, and I don't get upset when I see them win. When I sit down at night and hit the power button on my remote control, I'm not watching as a casual fan. I'm studying each show the way that Rene Lacoste studied tennis players back in the day. If you're truly passionate about your dreams, you'll want to analyze as many of them. So where can you analyze your competition? Where can you look at your competition and focus on what they do well and what they don't do well and use that as your playbook? This is literally shaving years off of time of your growth, right? I think about all the people in network marketing that have access to free training that I offer. Right? They have access to free training that I offer, not just what I'm literally speaking out loud, but also you can go to all of my social media pages and you can see my consistency. You can see my marketing strategy. You can see what I do on a day-to-day basis. You can see how much I'm on social media. You can see how I comment back to people. You can see how I talk to people. You can see how I caption people. The question becomes, do you use that knowledge or do you pretend like it's not sitting right in front of your face? Do you evaluate what the people that have what you want? Do you evaluate with the success of the people that have what you want? Do you evaluate those things and do you take them and implement them? Or do you just pretend like you can't see the marketing strategy right in front of your face? He talks about how if you're a marketer, you can't just, that was a fly. If you're a marketer, you can't just walk past a movie ad and not examine what catches your eye, what doesn't catch your eye, what's working, what's not working. When you go to social media pages of people that you look up to in business, of people that you find value from, why are you not looking at the things that catch your eye? Why are you not looking at the things that I say that make you curious about my business or curious about my product? And implementing that in what fits for your business. Yes, I give hours and hours and hours and hours of free training on my live videos, on my podcast, on my, but I also give free training in just presenting my social media on a public platform. He said, write. He said, write everything down about your opponent and then study the list. In it, you will have the information for improving your performance, as well as the information that you will reveal the most opportune places for you to strike when you're ready to make your move. Study the people that have what you have. You can cut years.